Elementary music teacher friend, you love what you do, but you might feel unappreciated and, in fact, unseen some days. You may even feel like you're on a music teacher island and just want to connect with other music teachers who can relate to both your struggles and wins when it comes to teaching elementary music. I get you and understand completely the feelings you're having. That's why each and every week, the Elementary Music Teacher Podcast will provide you with solo and guest episodes that will help you realize you're not alone in your music teaching journey. Throughout each episode, my goal is for you to be able to walk away with actionable steps and ideas to help you feel like you're ready to take on the new week with whatever challenges may be thrown your way. Hi, I'm your host, Jessica Paresta, and I'm so glad you're here. Whether you're at home, in your car, in the shower, or wherever else you're listening, grab your cup of coffee or whatever other beverage is nearby and listen in to the Elementary Music Teacher Podcast.
I'm Anne, co-host of Transparency in Teaching, a part of the Education Podcast Network, just like the show you're listening to now. Shows on the network are individually owned, and opinions expressed may not reflect others. Find other interesting education podcasts at edupodcastnetwork.com.
Well, hello, friend. Welcome back to the podcast. Today, I'm going to talk about how to contribute to parent-teacher conferences as the music teacher. I know that every school does this a little bit differently, and you are maybe asked to do parent-teacher conferences, you're asked to maybe sit in on parent-teacher conferences, you're just asked to be at the school, to be available to help in different ways, or whatever else, and we're going to talk about how you can contribute as the music teacher. So first of all, let's talk about sitting in on conferences. Let the classroom teacher know ahead of time that you would like to maybe sit in on a particular student's conference, just so they're aware. You are more than welcome to be there. You are also this child's teacher, but just make them aware ahead of time so they are aware that you're going to be there. There's a couple reasons for this. I'm a parent, so I can tell you a couple reasons on the parent side as well. One of my kiddos is on an IEP. He's my child with autism, and in his parent-teacher conferences, well, we have IEP meetings, but then we have the regular conferences as well. And they are a little bit different now in middle school, let me tell you. But this podcast is for elementary music teachers, so I won't go there. But it's never just one teacher in his elementary school experience. It was his teacher, his aide, his special education team, his speech therapist would be in there. Usually the principal, not always, but sometimes we have an assistant principal. So for me, a parent like me who has a child that gets school services, letting the teacher know ahead of time they can inform the parent, and I would be totally fine with anyone else sitting in on the conference. But when there's already, let's say, six people sitting in there, it's full, first of all. And second of all, I may be overwhelmed if there's one more person in the room. But on the flip side of that, if it's a child who you know is just going to be the teacher in that child, just letting them know ahead of time is honestly just a courtesy thing, just to say, hey, by the way, I'm going to sit in on this child's conference, and maybe letting them know ahead of time of why you might be in there. So they know that they have 15 minutes for the conference, and they also would love to know ahead of time so they can make sure that they get done with their portion, let's say in 10 minutes to leave you with five or something like that, because usually there's another parent waiting after you. So let the classroom teachers know ahead of time. If you're sitting in on conferences, also, I want you to remember to start with the positive first and then go into maybe the not so positive if that's the reason you're in there, is maybe for a behavior reason or something like that. Sit in for the students you want to discuss about their musical ability, as well as maybe some behavior issues you might need to address. Meaning, when you're going through the list of students that you might be wanting to sit in on their conferences, don't just pick the students that have the behavior issues that you want to talk to mom and dad about. Also, show up to conferences of students who you want to inform parents that maybe they didn't know their child had a great singing voice, or you can tell there's just some natural musical talent there and you want to let the parents know that. Sometimes parents, that may be the only positive note they hear about their child. So sometimes sitting in on conferences that way is a great idea. Also, when you're narrowing down the ones that are absolutely necessary to sit in on, know that that means you're leaving out your other, 400 students. I'm just naming a number. So what can you do if you're really wanting to get some communication across to parents, but you can't possibly sit in on every single one? Well, we already talked about communication with the classroom teacher. And so another way to do this is to send them an email or a note ahead of time of what you want to include in their conference. Just say, hey, can you give these notes to the parents for me? Or if they don't want to do that verbally, then have a note or something you've printed off that you can have handed to the parents. And maybe that parent can make their way down to the music room after the conference to talk to you about that one-on-one. So those are just some pointers about sitting in on conferences. But how else can you contribute as a music teacher? You can also have your classroom ready to receive parents and students. A lot of times, your principal may just want you to be available just in case parents want to come talk to you about what are my kids learning in the music room, or when is an upcoming performance, or to even ask about their child's grade or how are they doing in here. Make yourself available, and here are some ways that you can do that. If there is any work that students have done, maybe it's some kind of rhythm worksheet they've done or something like that, then have that hung up. But we know in the music room, it's not always about paper pencil. So maybe there's some login that your parents can go into to see what their kids are doing. Or maybe on Google Classroom, you can say, hey, I posted what we're doing here, and you can see your particular child's assignment or whatever it might be. But also have these things ready, because you may be asked about certain things and you want to just make sure you're as prepared as possible. So any grades or assessments you've done in the music room, have those ready to go so you can show parents if they ask about it. Also, what you've been working on in class, maybe you have some kind of newsletter you want to hand out, or maybe it is some kind of objectives you even have written on the board that they can see, or I can statements that parents can visually see what their child or children have been learning in the music room. Also, any upcoming events parents should know about. This is constantly being communicated in different ways, and somehow it still misses certain parents' eyeballs. I have 3 kids, so now I get it. I understand. But there's newsletters sent home school-wide. There's emails that go out. There is a school calendar. There is different classroom teachers have various apps they post on. But with that said, you can never communicate it enough. So have something posted outside of your classroom or on your bulletin board in the hallway where parents can visually see something that tells them about the events coming up that their child might be participating in. How else can you maybe contribute to the parent-teacher conference? Well, you might be asked to just help out in the school as needed, just to be there and be available. Just like we talked about being available in your classroom, you may be asked to help out in the school as needed. For example, maybe you and, let's say, the art teacher and the librarian could set up a table, maybe towards the front of the school somewhere, where you have, like we talked about, the newsletter or calendars or what we're doing in music class ready to go for parents. So they could just stop at the table on their way in or out of the school just to talk to you. And maybe you haven't met them yet, or maybe you want to just let them know what we're doing in the music room. So have a table right there where you're able to receive parents as they come in or out. Maybe you can also help the PTA, or however you call it at your school. Maybe it's the PTO, Parent Teacher Organization or Association, out. Maybe you can help them out. Maybe you're just kind of available to assist in that area. Or you may be asked to help with other school or other tasks that your school asks you to do. So think about that. And maybe just it's a matter of having a conversation with your admin about what are they needing from you. And another idea that I absolutely love is a way that you can advocate for your music program. If parents are already coming in and out of the school, and let's be honest, a lot of times parent-teacher conferences are on multiple nights, but maybe you just choose one of those nights where you have an honors choir or you have a certain grade level that sings a performance that's already right there in the school building where parents are coming in. And then maybe those kids, their teachers are coordinating their parent-teacher conferences on a different night than the performance or something like that. Or another idea that I absolutely love, technology is such a huge thing in our schools right now. And so maybe you have been recording students and you're recording them both through audio and video in your music room. So maybe in the common area, if you have a big screen or a large projector or something like that, you just have like this running video playing of various grade levels and students of what they're doing in the music room. So as parents are walking through the commons, you're going to see them stopping to kind of watch this video of, oh my gosh, what are my kids doing? And then you can maybe even send it out to parents afterwards if you would like to. But when it comes to parent-teacher conferences, there is no one-size-fits-all approach. It is honestly up to what you want to do, but also what you're asked to do. And think about something maybe I presented in this episode, or think about other ways you can contribute to conferences in a way that makes sense for you and in a way that you feel like you are a part of the larger picture of your school building. I'll be back with another episode soon, and I hope you guys are having an amazing week. Hang in there. You are doing a great job, and I am so proud of you. Well, hey there. Thank you so much for listening into the Elementary Music Teacher Podcast. There is an exclusive Facebook group just for listeners of this podcast and any elementary music teacher called the Elementary Music Teacher Community Facebook group. Come on over and join us there, where we have conversations around the podcast episodes and encourage each other each and every week. And also head to my website, thedomesticmusician.com. I have some free resources there that you can download to help you gain traction in your classroom today, as well as the blog and the membership site and all kinds of other goodies to help you keep going in your music teaching journey. I cannot wait to keep connecting with you and encouraging you and spurring you on in your journey of teaching elementary music. Hang in there, have an amazing week, and I will see you soon.